Okay, it's November 8th, 2022. Resuming 2031 hours. Ward Green here. Let's say, I forgot something here. Let's just try and get this working here. Let me get a monitor. I have to see myself to know that I'm actually what I look like on cam, even though I'm not using the same monitor. It's just I'm using a faked mock-up camera so that I can get a rough idea what I look like on cam when I'm talking in the video. Okay, so that's all I just did. Now I need to put that on top. It's got to be on top so that it doesn't disappear when I click on something. Okay, that might work. So I was out shopping today, and I bought several things. Oh yeah, that reminds me. I wanted to talk about these nails. I found these landscaping nails. So I had no nails longer than 5 inches, and I want to talk about my deck post that I said there were no nails in it. I was wrong about that. There are nails in it, and I want to talk about this drawing here, which is the corner of my house. So my deck would extend from this corner that you see in this direction here. That's my deck extending out. But it also extends over this way. The deck that I built was in this direction and along here. The existing deck was in this area. And it was up above, of course. This is the base of the house frame, which sits on the concrete foundation, which is only a few inches or, you know, maybe 9 inches off the ground in some places, that it stands no higher than that above the ground, this point. But on the garage or carport side here, it's a couple of feet maybe down here to where the carport surface is, because there's a hill here that goes down to the carport here and to the other carport over here, which is where we built the new deck here. In this part here, there's another carport there, and the original carport was here, which is about a couple of feet lower than this house frame, the frame of the house wall here. So this is partly in the basement, this wall, and then somewhere up here, there's the beginning of the first floor of the, you know, of the house here. It's a raised ranch bungalow, so this point where the floor actually starts is quite a bit above this. It's not as low as this is, but it's useful to see that, because that's sort of what it looks like, but it would be just a little, quite a bit higher. The first floor will be quite a bit higher, because you go up from the level of concrete up several stairs to get up to that floor at the front of the house. So at the front of the house there are the stairs, about 7 steps, so it's quite, the main floor is quite a bit higher than this. Would, if this were a floor, it would be quite a bit higher than that relative to this concrete foundation. It's 7 times 7 feet, it's probably 5 feet, seven, whatever a step height is, 9 inches or 10 inches or whatever the step height is. 7 inches, I think. I think 7 inches. So it's a half. If it's a half of seven, or 7 or 8 steps, a half would be 4 feet. So it's 3.5 or 4 feet difference in height between the ground floor and this concrete foundation, roughly speaking. So I did find out that my post, so what I wanted to explain, this is the corner of the house. The post that I put in to support the deck, the deck is first of all at the same level as the ground level of the house, so it's up somewhere here. The deck itself, where you walk on the deck, is somewhere at the same level as the ground floor of the house. If this were the ground floor, then that would be the same as where the deck was. So you don't have to go up any steps to get onto the deck. It's all one level. And so where we built the new deck over here, which was to the west of the original deck, this is north, that way is north, roughly, and this is roughly west. So over here to the south, there's a post that I put in with a concrete foundation. And that post is the one that I said had no nails. It was going up here. It's not visible because it's not in the drawing, but it was somewhere here. So this, I did put nails in it, but I angled them in and I put in some shorter, I didn't have anything as long as this. But if I put in a 12-inch nail, it has to go through a 5.5-inch post and then 4 inches of three 2x10s, actually. They're 2x, you know, which is 1.5 thick. For three layers would be 1.5 times 3 is 4.5 inches, plus 5.5 for the post is 10 inches, but there's a one inch overlap because the post is notched out. So there's 1 inches less than 1 inch less than 10, which would be 9. 9 inches is too shallow to drive a 12-inch spike because it would stick out the other end, right? Unless we cut it off. But it's easier just to angle it. Angle it at a 45-degree angle. That would make it short enough so it won't penetrate. We could do the calculations to make sure. Using the, you know, simple, using the sine or the cosine of a 45-degree angle, which is the same for both. The sine and cosine of 45 degrees. Sine or cosine of 45 degrees is 0.707, if I recall, right? It's about 70%. So you're going to make 70% of 10 inches is 7 inches. It'll only penetrate 7 inches, and that won't be too many because it won't go all the way through the 9-inch thickness. So a 45 degree would be perfectly fine, or maybe a little even slightly less than 45, you know, slightly more straight on than 45 would still not penetrate all the way through. So we could put one of these one way and angle the other one the opposite way at a different height in that post and into those 2x10. They're 2x10s, three layers of them that make up the framing for the stairway that comes up. There's a frame stairway framed here, comes up right here to the top of the, well, right up where the deck is, somewhere up here. But let's imagine this is the height of the deck. The stairway would come up, and then this would be the landing, the top at the top of the stairs. But the stairs would go down. They go down here in this area, and they're framed over here at the edge of the house, right in line with the edge of the house. There's the framed stairs. And framing for stairs is usually two layers of 2x10, right? Or two layers of 2x something. So it's 3 inch thick. Plus, because I and my wife installed this other deck over here, we added another 2x10 to the outside of those two, and it makes it 4.5. Up from 3 inches to 4.5 in thickness here to this frame. So it's kind of like this. These three are also 1.5 each, so that's 4.5 inches there too in the corner of the house. Now if I took off the aluminum siding from the house, we wouldn't see this, we'd just see the aspenite. I hope we would. The sheathing on the house, which is aspenite, we'd see that there, so we wouldn't be able to see what this was. But if we wanted to attach something to this, I'll put this nail away. This is a good, I got quite a few of these. I got more than just a few of these. I can use these for something where I'm attaching heavy, heavy timbers, right? If I don't need a lag bolt, I don't have it, but I don't have any lag bolts that are longer than 6 inches, so I don't think I do. So if I wanted to use a screw, which is a lag bolt, which has a screw thread on it, I'd want to get those of the right length, you know, and go and buy them or order them specifically the right length for attaching something where it had to have pull power as well, which is what I'm thinking of doing. Well, I'm thinking of attaching things with my 6-inch lag bolts. I'm thinking of using that. I can attach things to this wall possibly by bolting them on, right? And by the way, this edge of the house with the aluminum siding is roughly equal. That's because the reason why it's roughly equal to the 2x10 we had installed here, which is right there. It's just about flush with the outside of the aluminum siding, but we've got framing sheathing on the outside of this framing here, sheathing of maybe 3/8 inch or 3/5/8 or whatever it is. Not sure what we have. We might even have 5/8 on the outside of our house. That would be good thickness of sheathing. But then the aluminum siding, it takes up 3/4 of an inch. So we almost have 1.5 inches here in addition to what you're seeing in the framing here. We've got another 3/4 of an inch, another 1.5 inches of thickness, roughly, added to this. So when we installed our 2x10 here, up higher, but at this point in space, just go vertically straight up from there and you'd see where it was. It was right about there. That it would stick out as far as about another 1.5 from the edge here, because the existing stair frame probably only came right to that, right to this corner. So another 1.5 inches is where our new one on our new deck, the new 2x10, which is right up at the ceiling of the deck, right underneath the floor of the deck, you know, right at the top of the carport, where the car parks. You've got your 2x10s right above that, and then you stand on top of that. So the 2x10s, they're 1.5 inches wide here, this wide, and it runs this way. It runs that way, right? But this is just the end piece of that floor or ceiling, whatever you want to call it. It's a floor from above and it's a ceiling from below. But the joists run this way, perpendicular, and they're attached with joist hangers along this way, right? There's a 2x10 running this way, and then there's joist hangers that run this way. I mean, the joist hangers are mounted here on this end plate, and then it's 2x10, it's 10 inches high, that plate, and it runs all the way down 20 feet or whatever it is. I think it's 20 feet. Yeah, it is. I think that's right. It's 20 feet long, the deck, right? But then the width of it is where the ceiling joists run. They're mounted on joist hangers, which are hung on this end plate. And they run this way. And they make they're 16 inches apart, I think. I think that's right. But there are certain standard widths for those. It could sometimes they're 12 inches, sometimes 16, sometimes 20 or 24, but I think we did 16 inches. So that was many years ago we built that. But so these are up here somewhere. They're hanging, you know, they're hung somewhere up above there. But I'm running this way just to show you that they run south. But there's another east-west ceiling joist running, you know, as you go south, there's another one, and then another one, and then another one. So the ceiling joists run that way. And those, I noticed, those joist hangers had a lot of rust on just a few of them. A fair bit of rust. Not excessive, but worrisome. So that's where I treated the rust, was on the ones that were exposed to the weather, which are right here. They have more weather coming, blowing in this way. So more rain, I guess, can get in that way. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think why that is. It should be possible for rain to get in over here too. But that's a good question, yeah. Because the eave of the house runs here. There's an eave that sticks out a few feet this way. Above, the eave would prevent rain from coming in, you would think. So I don't know how the rain got in there. That has to be looked at. Then what I'm thinking is, if we do want to attach to this part of the house, I don't really want to attach to it at all, okay? But if I want to put a wall in here to make this more of a garage over here, keep the snow from coming in on top of my van in the winter, which my van, I'm driving it, so I can't cover it up completely. You know, I can't wrap it up for the whole winter. I got to use it. So, and even if I do wrap it up, I have to be able to get the snow off of it. So I don't really want it to, I don't want snow coming in. So, I mean, I could try and hang a curtain here. The ground is a couple feet below this. So I could try and hang something down, but then that would just blow in the wind, right? But if I wanted to attach something, I can attach up above, because that's where these north-south, the end plate and the frame of the stairs runs north south. The thing that frames in these stairs, it's like a, you know, plus the new end plate for the east west joists, the 4.5-inch thick 2x10, basically it's like a beam, 4.5 by 10 inches in dimensions and 20 feet long running this way. That beam, we can attach onto it at the top. So we could just bolt or nail on directly onto that, whatever wall we want to put there. We can nail it from the inside of it or the outside of it. So we'd be basically coming in like this or from the outside like that, right? If we come from the outside, then that's going to stick out a little bit beyond the house. If we come from the inside, we don't have to attach to the very inside there at the top. Let me think. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, we could angle. We could come in. If we have a post that we put in here, a vertical sort of a post, but it's not going to stand on the ground, but just hang down. It'll be plenty of distance above the ground, so there's not going to be any frost heaving. If we put that there, that beam can be bolted right in, anywhere into the house, right? But if we don't want to bolt it into the house, we come up to where the joists are and we bolt into that, to where these joists are running this way. Or they're not joists, they're the end plate of the joists, but this beam essentially up that's 4.5 inches by 10 inches in dimensions and 20 feet long, that thing, we can attach our vertical beam to it, and it goes in about, to where does it go? About here. It only goes in about as far as this here. It doesn't extend over to here. So if we attached our new beam there, it would be over here somewhere. The beam that we attached would be somewhere here, attached this way into the material that runs north-south, north-south, into that 20-foot-long piece, but right at the very end of it, right here is where we would attach one piece. Then we could also attach somewhere over here, the other end of our wall could be attached over here at the top to that same piece that runs north-south at the top of this carport, right at the top of the carport. So there could be two attachment points at the top. At the bottom, we can attach to the post itself because there's a post here. And now the post, though, it's overlapped by, or it's notched 1 inch in to this 4.5. So it's, if the 4.5 ends over here, which we said it does, somewhere over here, then notched in part is about here. Maybe not even quite that far, but somewhere close to this corner here is where the edge, the inside of the post is here. This is where the inside of the post, the outside of the post is another 5.5 inches over this way. The outside of the post is over here somewhere, 5.5 inches. The inside's somewhere here. So if we want to attach to the inside of the post, then you see we might want to attach the top of the wall by angling upwards at an angle into the bottom of that 4.5 by 10. We might want to angle upwards into the bottom of it like that and mount it that way. But you can start to see, or we could also put in some kind of a horizontal piece somewhere if we had access. Well, we do have access to the, but over here we have another end plate, and then we have joists running this way that are 2x10. For the existing deck, so they run perpendicular. These joists run the opposite way, and this end plate runs perpendicular to this end plate. And this end plate's only 1 unit thick. It's only 1.5 thick, or two. It's obviously two layers thick because it's got it has to be. It is, I believe, 3 inches thick. Where it's attached to the house, it's got 2x10 attached to another 2x10, I believe, right at the house. It seems to me that that's the case, but I'll have to investigate more if I need to know that, which I probably do. But what we need to do is figure out, see, because that's exposed, but then it's not exposed in terms of attaching horizontally to it. These joists that go this way are preventing us from attaching directly onto it. So let's see if we can get a picture of something like that. It's okay. We're all right, though, I think. What's that? Where were we? There we are. Okay. Well, anyway, I mean, we can't just go, you know, we don't need to go horizontally either. We don't need to. Yeah, we do. Yeah, all we have to do is go in this one joist cavity where there's one this way and one that way, 16 inches apart. Inside there, we could attach something horizontally, very firmly with some kind of very strong bolts, lag bolts or screws. That could be attached. And then we could hang this wall on top of it. So it would be hung from above, if it were going to be that far in. But it may not be that far. We might want it to be over this way more, right? You know, I think we do want it to be more or less flush with this wall here, because we want the space inside here. So we could also mount it on the outside here. If we do that, we have to find a way to mount onto the post. Is the inside of the post is somewhere like this. Over here, though, down here, some, you know, it's down here in this drawing. The post would be over here somewhere, but lined up with this point as you go along like that. It'd be lined up. The inside edge of the post is here, and the outside is over here. I'm thinking that we need to attach to the inside of the post. That's what I'm thinking. That's the most logical, because then when we come over here, we're almost lined up here with this piece, with this edge, with this corner, I mean. And we don't really want to attach to that if we can avoid it. I want to invent some kind of attachment that's not permanent so that I don't have to penetrate that wall. Or I want to, you know, invent some way to use that so that to maybe prevent the wall from moving here at this corner. So we only need three attachment points at the top here, at the top over here to the south, and down here at the bottom somewhere on the post. Those can be our three attachment points, possibly, right? And then we need a fourth stabilizing point, which doesn't have to be an attachment point. That's my thought for this design so far. I'd rather not penetrate this wall. So anyway, that's my... But I mean, I've got to go measure it and look at it again. Every time I look at it, I get new ideas. I develop my ideas first, and then I go look at it. If I do things that way, I can make progress, right? But I have to try to invent something without looking at it. Because when I'm looking at it, I can change my mind 100 times. I need to make a decision and then go look at it and then see how to revise that decision to make it better. That's all. So this is, I mean, it's starting to come into shape that I could make a wall here. I've got the wood, but I don't have it cut to size or anything, or shape or thickness. So, but I can use the ash that I have to get 2 or 3 inch thick by whatever dimension I want, posts that would 2 or 3 by 6 inches or 2 or 3 by 2 by 3s or whatever I need as a kind of a firm thing I can attach. I can even attach it directly onto the siding, the sheathing, I mean, not the siding. The siding has to be removed where I'm going to attach that. I can do that. I can cut through the siding with, even just aluminum, you know, or sheet metal shears, you know. But I mean, I could do it with that, but that would be, it might be messy, but I could do it with my new angle grinder using a cutting blade. I can probably do that. I can cut along a line better that way and remove material on the siding. But no, the problem with that is the siding won't be held in place if I do that. There won't be any way to hold that siding, I think. I'm trying to think what holds the siding. Isn't it held at the end? I need to figure out how the aluminum siding is held in place because I can't just cut through it. Yeah, so there's a challenge. And at the corner, there's a piece of corner siding too, which is different. The aluminum is specially formed for the corners. I don't really want to cut anything on the house. That's the thing. So I can get three attachment points right now without touching the aluminum siding. But the other idea, okay, the other idea, yeah. Yeah, the best idea that I can think of. I have the idea that I want. Yep, I've got an idea. Just got it. Even a nail would work. Like even what like this. Even something like this nail, which is 12 inches, but it could be any, maybe a 6-inch nail is plenty long enough. I don't need that, but a 5-inch nail, I mean, I have 5-inch nails. It just has to stick. I could make a hole in the aluminum and drive the nail in and leave it sticking out just far enough, and it would be strong if it's a 6-inch nail. That could stabilize the wall if it sits on that in a notch. Just sits on that nail in a groove that's cut in the bottom of that so it doesn't move this way. It would be able to slide that back and forth along the nail probably, but it can't because it's going to be attached at the top and at three corners. Can't slide. And the only thing it would be able to do is flex a little bit this way back and forth, but it can't flex if it's locked in place by maybe even two nails could be used to lock it in place, whatever is needed. But well, there could be one nail on the back of it, even. The nails could be put in on the front and back of it. Just allow it to slide up and down, but not allow it to move back and forth. That's another idea. So it could be done with two nails or whatever. Or it could even be nailed to the wall. Yeah, it could be nailed to the wall, but not in such a way as to put pressure on the aluminum siding. Just in such a way as to prevent it moving. And it's not going to be touching the ground, so it won't be pushed up by any, there won't be any frost heaving or anything. That's my idea so far. So I like the idea of actually nailing it to the wall. But because it's nailed on the three points, it's nailed at three points, so nailing it at this point, if it's built very rigidly, this nail will not cause it to crush the aluminum siding. And if necessary, something can be done, maybe cut a notch in the aluminum siding, insert a piece of wood the right thickness to prevent crushing the siding, and then nail it. Then the siding cannot be crushed by the nail, if you see what I mean. Just angle the nail into the wall. Now there's going to be a lot of nails under here because this is where this is nailed together. So we don't really want to put nails right there because they might hit something. But as long as we don't go too far in, that would work, right? And even if we do, if we happen to go in the right place where there's no nail, we can get a nail in there. But it would be better to nail up here somewhere a little higher. There won't be any nails. And that can be done. So that's a better way of doing it. So that's the way I've got it figured out. So this is my preliminary idea for possibly building a wall on this carport to prevent the wind blowing all the snow in. It's basically, is it going, I'm trying to think, is it going to prevent, it's not going to prevent these joist hangers from getting rusty either. They have to be protected some other way. They could be protected by putting in some kind of blocking. That's how that could be prevented. But I have a feeling it's caused by water running down through the floor of the deck. You know, water's trickling down through the cracks between the floorboards, which are supposed to be there to allow the water to go through. The floor of the deck is just 2x4s that have gaps between, so that water can pass through. So there's no way to stop that. So no, that rust can't be prevented. All we can do is, you know, treat it. And we can prevent it with paint, as I said before, the Tremclad. So that's my idea. This is Ward Green. November 8th, 2100 hours, 2022. Bye for now.